I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, it's time for the 8 at 8.
One.
Before we get to it, I want to remind you, you're listening to KILT Houston and KILT HD2, an Odyssey station. Number one for the 8 at 8, Jalen Green. 37 points last night in the Rockets, 132-126. Overtime, thrilling win. Hit clutch threes, contested on defense, made some tough shots at the rack. Had a key block late that people are probably going to gloss over in regulation that was absolutely huge. And he wasn't perfect. Overcame some mistakes earlier in the game. But all in all, Seth, he continues to ball and the Rockets continue to roll, win their 10th straight.
Yeah, it's in a lot of ways, this felt like potentially, if we look back on the final 10 games of the season, if they can keep this up versus better basketball teams, and remain looking the way they have, this will feel like an actual turnaround or an actual moment where, okay, Jalen Green had been looking like a much different player this past month, but he really came into his own versus Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City did everything they could to throw a wrench into him and to make into his process and make him look like a younger player, and he handled it with aplomb. They're going out to double him, blitz him, do all that. And he just was making the right decisions all night. He played his butt off on defense. Really, really exciting evening for the Rockets.
Can't wait to see what the next 10 games look like for him and the Rockets, man. I just arrived at this conclusion last night. He's arrived. He has absolutely arrived. I think he's got what it takes. He led this team to their most impressive victory as a franchise in the last 4 years. That's easy. Easy. Next up.
And yeah, we'll always remember and never make a judgment on another young player again in his first 2 years.
Trust
Ime. We'll just wait. Yeah.
Trust Ime, because he could have pulled the plug on him a long time ago, like we all wanted him to, or at least most of us did. Up next on the 8 at 8, Caitlin Clark gets a massive offer from Ice Cube's Big Three League. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Okay, so obviously Caitlin Clark, Iowa women's basketball star, she's been offered $5 million, Seth, to play in the Big Three League. That equates to, I believe, what is 20 games. And the co-founder of the league is Ice Cube. He confirmed this yesterday on social media. I'll just read you a little portion of it. Quote, "We intended the offer to remain private while Caitlin Clark plays for the championship." I think they just advanced to the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite 8. I can't remember. But anyway, Ice Cube went on to say, quote, "But I won't deny what's now already out there. Big Three made a historic offer to Caitlin Clark. Why wouldn't we? Caitlin is a generational athlete who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three," end quote. Here's the thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
She'll go number one overall in the WNBA draft. That's a no-brainer. But the WNBA is going to pay her in and around $3 million with her salary and potential endorsements for an entire season. She gets to play just 20 games if she does this Big Three thing for Ice Cube and make $5 million, probably plus endorsements as well. What does she do?
Is Ice Cube being funded by the Saudis on this? This feels like this feels like he's trying to disrupt our American pastime that everybody holds so dear. Damn it, golf in the WNBA. Hey, I'm sick of it. Ice Cube.
Ice Cube's got old money and new money. He's got
this. Obviously, and in $5 million ain't no thing to Ice Cube. But I wonder. That's a really good question. Is it more of a because Caitlin Clark should be expected to make about $3 million in endorsements if she goes to the WNBA? I feel like she's enough of a standalone brand that she could still have maybe the same, if not more, endorsements if she were to go to Ice Cube's league, and maybe only do it for a year or two and then go to the WNBA, and it'll be a much more ballyhooed entrance into the WNBA if she does that. Oh, I'm getting like, should Jim Kelly have gone to the USFL or not? Should Jim Kelly... Ultimately, the NFL was just fine with Jim Kelly taking a couple, you know, Jim Kelly and Herschel Walker and others just taking a couple years off from the NFL. I would say that, oh boy, but women's sports, man, they rely on her. She's like an icon in buttressing up the
sport.
She's
got to
go to the WNBA. She's got to go to the WNBA.
Wow. I was going to say, while you're trying to make your decision, I was going to throw this little caveat in there. The WNBA has prioritization rules that disallow players from playing overseas. It's not known if those stipulations would apply in Clark's case with this offer being on the table to her where... It wouldn't be overseas. It would be in the States and potentially, I don't know, because I haven't looked too deep into this. Maybe she could do both. Yeah, maybe she could do both. Okay. And you know what? If you're badass like Caitlin Clark is, you could always go to the WNBA and still make a bleep ton of money in endorsements. You just won't have the number one overall pick attached to your name, potentially, if she decides, hey, I'm going to go to the big three. But she's got a very interesting decision to make. I'll be looking forward to seeing the outcome on this.
Three.
Next up, Robbie Avila, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Are you familiar with this individual?
Yes.
Okay. I just became familiar with him about 2 days ago. Loving it. 6'10", 240-pound basketball player for Indiana State. Had 22 points and 6 assists in the win over Cincinnati last night in the NIT to advance to their Final Four. I'm watching highlights of this dude last night on social. He is legit. He reminds me of a dorkier and slightly smaller version of Bryant Big Country Reeves from 30 years ago. Do you remember him?
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, this is what people that work in youth basketball have been saying now for a couple years, which is like, all right, listen, you just got to understand. Like, These big men have different skills than they used to. Like, they've been watching YouTube since they were little. Their expectations because of guys like Kevin Durant and others, I think, are that much higher. They've seen an example of guys who can do it. Yeah. So you're just seeing more and more of this. I'm not predicting greatness for him in the NBA or anything, but it's just it's one of those turns in the road that basketball has taken that you couldn't have predicted 20 years ago.
He doesn't look like a basketball player. Like, outside him being 6'10 and 240, like, he's not built. You know, he's a pasty white guy with rec specs. But he's got game. The guy can pass. The guy could shoot. He could finish at the rack. I mean, the game that he put together last night... that was pretty impressive. I'm going to be following this for the next however many games they're going to be playing, which I think, what did I say? They advanced to the Final Four in the NIT. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Four.
Draymond Green got ejected last night again. What else is new, right? That was his ninth and tenth technicals that he earned last night, which I think he's still a handful away from yielding a suspension. And as far as the ejection goes, I think that was his fourth on the season. Really gave Ray Acosta, the NBA lead official last night in their game, a lot of hell.
And Steph Curry looked like I never know what to make of the various Warriors after a Draymond Green ejection. Steph Curry looked pretty agitated. They described him as crying because he had his jersey up over his eyes. Is this so damn silly article on Yahoo Sports? And I went and watched. No, he's just frustrated. He's sick of like Steve Kerr and anybody else on the Warriors. Just at times they get sick of having to put up with Draymond and his crap.
Yeah. Here's how Steve Kerr sounded when asked about Draymond's ejection last night.
Yeah, too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. And, you know, he'll he'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench, had a big game for us. Gee made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Particularly yep. from Steph.
You know, a couple days ago about, you know, how proud you were of Draymond. Does this erode any of the confidence or anything he's done over the last several months?
Yeah, he said no. It was a little inaudible towards the end, but does it erode confidence was the question, and Kerr was like, no.
This is enough. I was actually almost not upset. I guess I was underwhelmed when I saw that he got ejected, and then I saw the video. Like, oh, okay, he's just being too aggressive objecting to something verbally. It wasn't him swinging at somebody or anything. I feel like this will be just the thing to dial in their focus, and they'll point to it as like, oh yeah, that was when we realized we really had to batten the hatches and get back to what made us great and all of that. And this is what they remain one game ahead of the Rockets in the standings after having won last night.
Yeah, and you know, that's, you asked me earlier, like, what's my biggest fear, I guess, down the stretch, you know, with the Rockets? Is it strength of schedule? Is it the roster? You know, what is it? You know, I still think no matter what happens, whether they get in the playoffs or not, they're going to look back on this stretch, however long it continues for, and say, you know what, that was the turning point, and we know who we can be now. But for the Golden State Warriors, which they're in direct competition with to try and steal that 10 seed from them, I think I also worry about just the team that has been there, done that before. And as bad as it's looked and as inconsistent as the Warriors have been this season, Seth, how do you bet against them? I mean, it's like the team, like it's like the Astros. Like, who's going to bet against the team that's been there, done that before, that has not had the roster turnover, that continually running the same team back every single year because they're badass? Like, you just got to get there. And once you're there, anything can happen.
Right. Yeah, like at various times the Astros have kind of sputtered their way into, like, you just retaining their seeding going into the postseason. And then it's completely different once you hit the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though, but it's also... Age at some point does take its toll. And I got scared off of doing that because of the damn Spurs. Because it felt like for about 27 years I was saying, like, wow, these guys are getting old. You can only keep this up for so long. And mm-hmm. ultimately it comes true.
Five.
Catcher Will Smith inked a creative deal with the LA Dodgers yesterday. He got a 10-year, $140 million extension.
What's this mean? He's going to provide creative for the Dodgers? He's going to be doing YouTube content?
Not that kind of creative.
It's a good deal for Will Smith.
He could. It is a good deal. I mean, I would not mind being paid like this, no matter how much money I'm making, as long as it was like a really good living, because it's like ace in the hole. He's going to be paid $400,000 per year over the next 10 seasons, and then... he's going to get 11.6 per year as deferred compensation with no interest, mind you, in the 10 years to follow. This is basically the Shohei Ohtani structure, and this is now at least the second time that I can recall the Dodgers or any baseball team has had multiple players with this amount of deferred money owed to them. You want to hear these crazy numbers? You got to watch it. If you're the Dodgers accountant, if they have a capologist, if their GM does this all... the Shohei Ohtani structure means that from the year 2034 to 2035, the Dodgers are going to be paying Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Smith a combined $100 million to not play for them anymore.
So a couple things that are interesting about all this, and there's all, you know, like the various different theories about it. For one, it's like these players will presumably be collecting this money when they're not living in California and paying California state income tax. So there's that. But the other is just I get nervous on the players' behalf when we've just all of a sudden had more inflation in the last couple years than most of these young players have ever even knew existed or anything. That when you start seeing these deferred payments in a time of erratic inflation, I worry that the players are being bilked a little bit, or, you know, have had their innocence used against them a little bit. Bobby Bonilla was the most famous one, who was getting paid He's still getting paid through 2035, is he not?
From the Mets.
$1.19 million every year through 2035.
And I don't know how true this is, but I actually saw a Facebook post yesterday from a pretty reputable baseball website that said the Baltimore Orioles actually agreed to a similar contract with Bonilla, and it's paying him $500,000 every year through like 2029. So he's making $500,000 from the Orioles. We never talk about that one, but it's rather the million plus that he earns every year on Bobby Bonilla Day from the Mets.
Well, that was the one that, supposedly the Nationals had tried to do it with Bryce Harper. Remember, they were bragging about the contract they had offered, and it turns out it was like someone was deferred until like 2,327.
Yeah, I remember
that. Bryce wasn't putting up with that.
No, and who's Bryce Harper's agent again, by the way? Is it one Scott Boras? That's pretty crazy to think about. Like, he got that deal for Harper, and that seemingly worked out and will work out, but he couldn't get that deal done for Bellinger, for Chapman, for Montgomery, for Snell this offseason. I don't know that he ever gets another major deal like that done, because I think there's a shift happening in Major League Baseball with these kind of contracts. I think deferred maybe seemingly is the way to go.
Six.
Jadeveon Clowney and the Panthers agreed to terms yesterday. Seth, 2 years, $20 million, made just over five last year in Baltimore. Panthers have stacked up on defense. I don't know if you've been paying attention to them this offseason, but they added guys like Alshon Robinson, Josie Jewell, Dane Jackson, DJ Wonnum, Caleb on Chason, former North Shore Cat, Troy Hill, Jordan Fuller. They haven't done much by way of offense, and at least from the skill position. I know they got some offensive linemen, but
yeah, they did. I actually like what they've done in terms of bolstering up the middle of the offensive line. Not to make this into a Panthers offseason discussion, but they're following the Drew Brees approach of, okay, you've got a short quarterback, then just go ahead and get some stud interior offensive linemen. They bring in Deontay Johnson, who, for whatever reason, had issues that the Steelers didn't like, but he's got quick separation skills. So I do like what the Panthers have done in the offseason. I think with Jadeveon Clowney, a lot of the issues that, say, somebody like Bill O'Brien had with Jadeveon Clowney, Clowney has aged himself out of, in that, like, Clowney and his maturity level in terms of practicing consistently, doing things like that, it wasn't always the best when he was a younger player. Mm-hmm. I think he has matured in some ways, but he's also gotten to the age now where he's not expected to practice every day, and he gets certain benefits. So it's not like he's a young guy bucking the trend or anything. He's just going to get treated like a super vet, which is what he is.
A super vet, I like it.
Seven.
Super vet. He's a super vet, and that he feels like he's 40 years old, only even though he's still relatively young.
I feel like he's closer to 40 than 31, which he's...
Is he 31?
Yeah, he's 31. That's crazy. I feel like he's been around for a long, long time. Number seven, Neville Hewitt. Texans bringing the special teams ace back. I did not know this. Led the NFL in special teams tackles last season with 13. By the way, for the season. So good re-signing for Frank Ross, the Texan special teams coordinator.
You know what, Sean Pendergast made a good point about this yesterday on Twitter. And he said, it's nice to have a day where when they sign somebody who's a special teams ace, it's somebody who's actually good at special teams. Because like Alfred Blue was touted as that guy that you had to have.
I saw that.
You had to have him for special teams all those years. But meanwhile, like, he wasn't actually good on special teams. So nobody knew exactly why or like what reason was keeping Alfred Blue around, which sucks because he was a hell of a guy. I loved Alfred Blue, except for the fact that he could never really figure it out as a running back. So Neville Hewitt, genuinely good special teams.
Alfred Blue. I was actually watching an old Twitter video of Brian Cushing destroying Alfred Blue on Hard Knocks from years back. he was giving him hell. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Cushing was mic'd up that day and was gone into peak bully mode.
Yeah,
that
maybe it wasn't Hard Knocks, but NFL mic'd up.
No, it was Hard Knocks.
Was
yeah,
it was
they did a whole thing. It was him beating the crap out of Alfred Blue during the one-on-one pass rush drills, which honestly, for like linebacker, it's kind of messed up. Like, when the running back can't cut, and you've got him out there doing pass rush, pass blocking versus a linebacker with no threat of a cut, the running back's screwed. He's just absolutely screwed because Cushing could run right at him and do whatever he wanted.
Eight.
Lastly, on the 8-8, this is my dumbass award, probably for the week, Seth. I just invented that. I give it to Chasen Bradford, who is a one-time relief pitcher for the New York Mets, spent a year with them years back. He's 34 and has made a significant career change. He's decided to become a policeman in Henderson County in Nevada. Well, he was so excited that he had just gotten sworn in, he decided to go celebrate and unfortunately did too much. Ended up getting pulled over for drunk driving literally hours after he had been sworn in as one of the newest deputies in Henderson, Nevada. Dumas.
Did you see it all? Like, if there were any transcripts of what he said when he was pulled over?
Yeah, I did not.
I need to see body cam footage of him trying to claim immunity or something because he's a cop. I'm one of you. Yeah. I imagine like the 30-year-old veteran cop who hates him for whatever reason, just because he hates rookies. Like, look at this bum.
I like watching all those arresting videos on Facebook and stuff. Where they pull over like current cops or deputies or important people, and they're like, "You don't have to do this." And they're trying to like be discreet from the body cam. You don't have to put cuffs on me. Let's talk about this.
Do you know who I am? Yeah. People used to be a lot more belligerent with the "Do you know who I am?" Once they started realizing people had body cams on, you got to be a lot more discreet about like, you know, I haven't, maybe. Perhaps you know my nephew, Jim. Yeah.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Pendergast. Coming up next, I'm not sure if I should be encouraged or nervous about this with the Texans. We'll figure it out next at Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
In for Sean Pendergast, I'm Sean Bajani. He's Seth Payne. Good morning, everybody. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 713-572-4610. You can hit us up in the chats on the text line or on Twitch and YouTube. We appreciate you if you've joined us this morning already. Seth, I don't know how much you and Sean particularly have discussed what the Texans have done and in some cases didn't get done in regards to the defensive line this offseason, having, no more Malik Collins, trading him to San Francisco for that seventh round pick, not retaining Sheldon Rankins. He ends up going to Cincinnati, I believe it was, right, for $2 more million. He got the 2-year, $26 million deal up there when the Texans reportedly offered, 2 years, 24 was the report. I'll just start by asking you, like, your comfortability from a interior defensive line standpoint in what you think they've done and addressed both of those absences now?
I'm not overly worried about it. Yeah, we've talked a fair amount about Texans free agency, like a segment or two. I'm not overly worried about it because they like that was a concerted decision they made when they were trying to trade Malik Collins for Arik Armstead. They decided, okay, we've got this chance to go over Danielle Hunter, to go for Danielle Hunter after they had already added an edge rusher and Danico Autry.
Yeah.
So I like that part of it, just the faith that those two are going to offset each other is one thing that makes me feel better. I think they've got enough like journeyman types in there right now to make do. You got to remember that with Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins, it was their ability to penetrate and disrupt in the backfield that made them more valuable than like their value as overall run stuffing slash pass rushing defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
So they've added some of that disruptive ability at the edge position, and Danico Autry can go down inside. But they've lost like a total number of dudes that can really do that. They've got more old school codgers in a lot of way at a lot of those spots. But it's I'm giving them a 50% shot of drafting a defensive tackle in the draft, likely in the second round. But I'm not overly distraught about defensive tackle right now. I'm more worried about cornerback, like we discussed yesterday.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I mean, so I like that perspective, and I've kind of come around to that in how you're looking at the defensive line. But initially, I mean, I was frustrated. I was even slightly angry because optically I just didn't think – it looked good. It had worked out. And I thought really, you know, as much time as we'd spent talking about, you know, those few days when you didn't trade for Arik Armstead and you went ahead and you made the deal for the 7th round pick, trading away Malik Collins, and you didn't retain Rankins. I thought that was a big point of contention. And I was a little surprised to not hear any of this discussion from Mina Kimes, who on her podcast yesterday had Pro Football Focus's lead draft analyst Trevor Sikkema on, and they were talking about the Texans, and it's what they didn't discuss that really intrigued me. Take a listen.
This is a good football team. Receiver, still something that they could work on, you know, although huge on Nico Collins, you know, Tank Dell comes back. That's a position that I would like them to address. Corner, they did add Jeff Okuda. We'll see if that, you know, it's kind of a reclamation. Stingley was excellent. That's the other position that would get better at. Outside of that, Trevor, I mean, offensive line depth? What are you looking at with the Texans?
For the Texans, I just have question mark. Wide receiver? Interior offensive line? Corner? Like, I guess? I'm just excited to watch this team again next season because they got so far ahead of where we thought that their rebuild was going to be.
I don't know if I should be encouraged, especially maybe more encouraged now that you said what you said, Seth.
Yeah.
Or a little nervous by the fact that, you know, we've now been resounded to the fact like, hey, we'll make it work with journeyman. And they didn't even mention it as being an issue. So I don't know. And I trust Mina in her analysis. So for her and, you know, Trevor Sikkema to not even acknowledge that being an issue, I guess that's kind of where you're at.
I think, well, it depends on which depth chart they're looking at, too, because I think sometimes, plus they were doing something where they were basically going through the offseason of all 32 teams, so they're doing like kind of a flyover on it. I think when people from outside of Houston look at the depth chart right now, they see Danico Autry slotted in as a defensive tackle and on a lot of depth charts. And the way people think about football these days is they almost don't act like your base defense is a thing. They list like your nickel defense as your starting defense. And I think when you're just doing a flyover, it feels like you look at it and you look at Danico Autry as an addition, and people they're reading that, oh, he's a defensive tackle when he's not really. I think that's where some of that comes from, that it looks like it's been addressed. I think the other side of it though too is like no good defense or good offense in the NFL, or very, very rarely, is it stacked with really good players at every single position. Like, you're going to have to make do with some journeyman. And I think the Texans' defense, I guess, if my question was whether or not they could be a top three defense this year, then I'd be a lot more worried about the defensive tackle spot. I'm not so fixated that they need to make that jump right away. You look at D'Amico's last year in San Francisco with that defense. They had Eric Armstead as one of the starting defensive tackles, but they had Javon Kinlaw, who was a bust as a first-round pick for the 49ers, as the other starting defensive tackle. You know, Hassan Ridgeway was behind him. Hassan Ridgeway's been with the Texans, was last year.
Hurt.
Yeah. It's just like, so I'm, you know, Amenihu was their guy that played on the edge and then came down inside. It shouldn't be the thing that prevents them from having a good defense. It's something they could certainly upgrade, and I think they will address that in the draft.
You know, they mentioned offensive line a couple of times there between Mina Kimes and Trevor Sikkema, the PFF draft analyst. And I thought this was kind of an interesting piece of audio from new Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh this week at the owners' meetings. Take a listen.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back, we don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like it? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive and, you know, the field position? Yeah, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. You know, it's like, so, yeah, that building that kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that. April 2nd, let's get it started. Let's go. You know?
So do you feel ready to roll?
I think he did that internet thing where he invented somebody to argue against. Again, in his mind, he was creating that. That's the old meme of, like, I'm tired of people who think that golf and water polo are America's favorite sports. Like, yeah, you created that group of people to argue against. I don't know about which argument he had where the defensive line was claiming that it doesn't matter if you have a good offensive line or not.
I thought what he was saying
was that, like, you can have a good offensive line whether or not the running back or quarterback is good. Like, it doesn't rely, which is partly true. There are a lot of quarterbacks that make their offensive line look worse than they are by taking sacks.
Yeah.
So you can look at it and see how long guys are sustaining their blocks. But whenever a guy gets sacked 80 times, people have a hard time hearing of the about how many times, like, the offensive line blocked for 2.5 seconds or longer.
I was curious because, you know, to me, that's a very fundamental approach to understanding just your job as an offensive lineman. And I think you could probably make similar analogies at various position groups to younger players. You know, if you're talking about high school, certainly college too, just to make them get them focused more on what they're doing. But from a defensive lineman, your former defensive lineman, I was interested in what you thought when he pivoted to the defensive lineman mentality and what you need to rely upon or how that dynamic works.
I feel like he pivoted away from himself at that point. Because the way I think that he had started off intending it was that what he would have meant was that the defensive line, if the defensive backs aren't playing well, then you're not playing well. Like, you can, and the Texans have faced this at various times where when the defensive backs aren't playing well, it looks like you're not getting a pass rush, but because the ball is coming out so fast. And likewise, you know, if you could be playing awesome on the defense, you could have an awesome defensive line, but if the linebackers are no good, you're not going to stop the run at all. Where I think that I actually agree with him when it comes to the offensive line. If you have a genuinely good one, it makes your quarterback better. Whereas your quarterback, if you're watching the right things, even though he might take more sacks than he should, you can still evaluate the offensive line and say, yeah, they're actually blocking pretty well. It's just the quarterback is taking too many sacks. Mm-hmm. And then receivers are the exact opposite of the spectrum. Like, they rely completely and totally on everybody else.
Yes.
You could be, as Andre Johnson knew his first few years, you could be absolutely destroying everybody, but if the quarterback's not making the right reads or if the offensive line's not holding up, you don't get utilized to your max ability.
No doubt, or if he's running for his life.
So I do like what I think Harbaugh was saying at the first half of his statement, which is if you can build through the offensive line, and if you do right and guys stay healthy, then it is the most that and your quarterback play, if you can actually find a good quarterback, those should be the most stable things year in and year out. Like that's one thing that's one thing that one reason why teams focus and fixate so much on offense is offensive passing game. It's not just because obviously that's where you can have the biggest impact. That's the most consistent from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rushing offense, defense in general, pass defense, all of those things tend to fluctuate even on good teams. Passing offense, if you've got a good quarterback and you've got a good offensive line, that's generally pretty consistent.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. You're listening to Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, how much will our NFL viewing experience be affected this next season? We'll explain next at Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I'm Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, along with Seth Payne, Ben Gary producing. 713-572-4610 if you want to hit us up in the chats on the text line, Twitch, YouTube. We appreciate it as well. A lot of react so far from our Rocket and Astro musings this morning. A lot of NFL stuff to get to as well. And I asked the question coming into this segment, Seth, on how much our NFL viewing experience is going to be affected this season, and seemingly each and every year it is to some degree in various facets. Did you see that, and this has been making its rounds, I feel like it crops up about every other week or so this offseason, since Bill Belichick is not employed as a head coach anywhere. Everybody seems to be after him to get him to be a part of their studio show. And Belichick has basically said, I don't want to be on a studio show. I'm not doing that. Doesn't want to do it. But ESPN's been pretty relentless. And I think Pat McAfee has reached out as the latest to make him an offer that he can't refuse to join his show, at least periodically during the course of NFL season. Do we need Bill Belichick as part of our NFL viewing during this season?
Do we need him?
Yeah,
I don't know if we need him. I think I would enjoy it. I think it would be he can be much, much different. As people from New England always need to tell you, like, well, he's a completely different person away from the cameras and in the football environment. They act like he's Don Rickles or something. I think that his knowledge and his expertise and honestly, like his genuine excitement in talking about football when it's not a pointed question about his team or leading up to a game or what have you,
yeah.
I think it'd be really good insight. I think the biggest problem, though, is that the biggest platforms when it comes to former coaches and everything tend to be like the studio shows where they don't actually want a whole lot of insight. They want you to say something kind of crazy or kooky about this new young quarterback and
exactly.
Like all that. But they don't necessarily really get into it. That's where I feel like he's probably going to end up on some show that isn't actually all that highly rated or anything, because it he's going to be looking for something where it's a little bit higher level, where they can talk about X's and O's and strategy.
I agree. I think it's a really good point. I don't see him being a fit on, like, you know, CBS alongside J.J. Watt or something like that on a pre- and a post-game show. But I'd almost rather – I don't want to see him on a game day. I want to see him during the week, breaking right. down what happened in the past week's games, you know, looking ahead to this week's games. And, yes, doing what you said, getting really – in the thick of things and talking X's and O's. I think there's huge value there for Belichick, because I do think, and I don't know this, maybe you've seen some things that I haven't, but I do think there's a personality underneath there. We've seen it maybe here and there a little bit, but I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that mails it in if he's a part of a platform that is a couple of times a week or even every day of the week, versus if he was on like a panel on Sunday. That's not up his alley in my mind.
No, and I think now where he actually might still be good on a panel on Sunday is that I think, unlike some of those guys, like the older they get, the more they do this, they get their talking points or bullet points from producers, and they hit their two or three big bullet points, and then that's it. I think what Belichick would have, because this is what he was really, really good at as a defensive coordinator, is understanding, like, okay, what is the one big key to this game? Like, that's a, because Belichick would do the simplest thing in the world, which was, okay, identify their biggest threat, and what are we going to do to stop it? And I would be fascinated to kind of see Belichick's take on that every week, is like, okay, this is what, this, they need to stop the run game from this team, and they need to do it this way. And then if a team doesn't do it and they get gashed by the run, that's good content right there. I feel like he'd want to actually be able to discuss it on more than a 20-second soundbite type of format.
According to The Athletic's Andrew Marchand, quote, ESPN could combine with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions and NFL Films to secure the legendary coach, Bill Belichick, for a broadcasting role. Would you be interested in something like that? And I even saw something like this floated out where, instead of him being a part of like a Manning cast, it would be like a coach cast where it's him and maybe another former head coach. And I feel like Rex Ryan was maybe brought up as part of this. I think I would be fascinated. I don't know who would lead that whole thing. Probably be Rex.
I'd rather see Belichick with an offensive coach. I'd like to see that kind of going back and forth in exactly, you know, what they'd be thinking here, what the offensive guy is thinking, what the defensive guy is thinking. Although, you know, it would be better if you did do two defensive guys. I think Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick could be really good. Yeah. I think Belichick might end up punching Pete Carroll at some point, or like walking off set or something. I feel like Pete's energy is different enough from Bill Belichick's energy that it would be entertaining. But at some point, Bill Belichick would lose his patience with Pete Carroll. But I feel like it would be really entertaining stuff. I think it could be good.
Yeah, possibly. That's one way our NFL viewing experience could be affected this season. Here's another one. I learned this from Chris Mad Dog Russo on his show yesterday. I always forget what it's called. Is it? It's not Get Up. It's isn't it First Take? Is that what it is?
I don't know which one he's on. I always just see the clips on the internet. Yeah.
I always get those mixed up.
I'm usually
up.
Working. Yeah.
But apparently, the league announced earlier this week that Peacock is going to exclusively air the Sao Paulo, Brazil game that is going to kick off the NFL regular season as part of opening week. So unless you have Peacock, you are not going to be able to see this game. And he exactly wasn't exactly thrilled about it.
I don't agree.
First body of the year, the Eagles open up here in Sao Paulo, Brazil. On Peacock.
Yeah. What?
Peacock. So the Eagle fan who busts his butt to go to the link to see game after game and spends a fortune to do it, he's not going to fly to Brazil. He may not have Peacock, so he's going to miss the first game of the year so the NFL can make more money? I mean, really. I mean, it's bad enough they're on Amazon. It's bad enough they go play in Europe. It's bad enough they put extra millions of teams in, and they got an Amazon playoff game this year, too, which drives me crazy. They got to play the first opening game of the year with the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo on Peacock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's hard to get Peacock. I don't want to get Peacock.
I'm with Mad Dog on this one, man. That's complete BS. And I learned something in that rant of his. I did not know there was an NFL game planned exclusively for Amazon this next season. That sucks.
Well, the Thursday night, I mean, that's what the Thursday night has been.
I know, and I hate it. I can't watch Thursday night football because I don't have it.
Okay, so because we played him ranting about the opening game in Brazil before, like a month ago, when he was just upset about the Eagles in general having to play. And now him having to either purchase a Peacock subscription or figure out how to get on the app. I feel his pain. I do question a little bit his rant against capitalism there. I'm guessing he's being paid pretty well these days still. I appreciate you sticking up for the working man that apparently doesn't want to make any money or anything. But I don't know if the NFL at this moment with some of their international games is like, I don't know whether how much of a profit they're turning. Like it's to grow the game in the long run. The long game is what they're thinking of in pulling in more fans. The app stuff is real, though. Like, every Astros game this year that ends up on a streaming service, every football game that's on a streaming service, Mad Dog kept up with it after we cut that off, where he talked about how it's a pain in the butt to change the channel. Because you're watching a game and it feels like you're captive. Because you're like, oh, I got to switch apps on my TV or I got to have a laptop open. If I want to flip between this and something else, then, like, let's say hypothetically there was a Thursday, or a game playing during the... Well, yeah, there will be an Astros game playing during the Cougs game tomorrow night. If one was on a streaming service, then you gotta log out of one to get on the other before you watch. That's the biggest pain of all of it.
Yeah, I can't get behind the whole streaming services, and it's a battle that I am still waging against my cable provider. I have to await... I'm awaiting until April 8th to get that... existing customer promotional deal to get my bill down. And the only reason I'm retaining is so I can watch my Astros and Rockets. That's it, because I don't want another streaming service.
Yeah.
I just want to go through it all.
Listen, 22-year-olds, before you start texting in how easy it is to watch games on some bootleg feed.
Yeah,
all right?
Miss me with that.
Adults don't have time for that crap, all right? I can't be watching the game and then all of a sudden like, oh, this one's shut down. I apologize to 22-year-olds. I should have said 16-year-olds or something. Adults don't have time for that crap. I don't need to be on a hide-and-seek mission to watch a damn sports game, okay? I just want to be able to watch it in peace.
Glad you co-signed that with me. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, the best win in years for the Rockets last night, but is it too little... too late. We'll discuss next at Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.